Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
It's the POV rhythm and beat.
On Kaya 959.
With Pimelo Modine.
So, Nyakalo Maleke is an interdisciplinary artist. She's a writer. She is the Centrebank Young Artist Award winner 2025 for visual arts. She's in studio with us. Well, our little makeshift studio here in Makanda. Thank you, Nyakalo, for coming through and talking to us this evening. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
We were obviously listening to one of your music picks. And we'll talk about all of the other things you've been doing here. But let's start with this particular selection.
Yeah.
Why this song?
I think the selection is really coming from like a playlist that has been of songs that I've been listening to in the process of making the work that is currently in the exhibition space.
Yeah.
A lot of it is very either calming or like very spiritual or like feels like different kinds of affirmations and moments of like being reborn in a creative way, introducing oneself creatively to a public that's going to be seeing the work for the first time. So each song speaks very differently as these kind of encouraging songs, feeling revived in old forms.
So we obviously got to experience the exhibition. Not only was it just the exhibition of your work, but some of the workshops that you are also conducting while we go through the exhibition. Very interesting. I thought that was very generous. As an artist, I think it's very giving to be able to exhibit the work and in a way also impart some sort of knowledge and allow others to express themselves through the mediums that they may not be familiar with as you engage with your own, you know, I would even call it a gift to us, the audience, but gifting it back to us again in asking us to ourselves, you know, add something there. How long is the piece, by the way?
So it's a 40-meter drawing.
40-meter?
Yeah, but so far we've only managed to fit in about 35 meters of it approximately in the space.
I say long, and for people who obviously don't know what I'm talking about, it's a piece that's long, as in it's long.
Yeah,
it's not a big piece, it's a long piece, and it moves around the room so... It's a long piece and it moves around the room held together or at least supported by steel frames underneath, right?
Yes.
But yet so gently. Yeah. It is so elegant. Yeah. You know, so one forgets how the steel frames that support the work, you know, steel is hard and all of that, but what sits at the top of the steel frame is so elegant. Yeah. Let's talk to everybody who hasn't obviously seen it and perhaps describe it for those who haven't seen what it is we're talking about.
So the drawing that that is currently at the monument is it's on wax paper or baking paper, and it is a conversation. It's an experimental drawing that has been created with different marks. That is thinking about drawing in different using. Thinking about the entire wax paper as also a form of mark making, how you crumple it, the textures that it gives. It's got stitching details. It's got found materials like toilet paper rolls, nets, a net that you find for like notchy bags, all these different materials that have been collected that you find at home, and it spirals throughout the length of this
the room
And it's really this curiosity around how materials can be in conversation with each other through their resilience and their vulnerability and their form, and how you can really get when you rework into the materials themselves, how they also start to become very fragile and they tear. So everything in its entirety is a mark.
What I thought was incredible about your piece, of course, you know, many exhibitions you go there, you engage the piece.
Yeah.
But you forced us to engage with the piece because we had to go look underneath, we had to touch and feel, explore ourselves, where the piece takes you places that you couldn't imagine.
Exactly.
A piece would. Sometimes I wanted to almost sneak within the piece, because you have created little pockets in spaces sometimes where I am curious. There is one pocket which I was forced to smell because there's a little label that says something about it having a scent, I think.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even sure whether it was a deliberate label or whether it was just the label was material. I wasn't sure, but I had to explore. It's really wonderful for an artist to share so generously in that way, because as I said, generally we are asked to observe, not to ourselves engage. And in fact, you've seen often people are told don't touch the piece, right, at a gallery.
I mean, it's everything that you've mentioned is so relevant, because the exhibition is really, the drawing itself is not on a wall. Everything is in the middle of the space. It's taking up a lot of space in its quirky ways. And I think with this, my intention with this exhibition is that it balances both art and education together, because it's an invitation for people to also step into the studio practice, to also be involved, as you saw in the workshop today. Like, I was sharing a lot of the processes that happen in the studio space through play, and also through just the ordinary materials that we, you know, that have been used.
Generally, artists are not keen to tell us what to see. How do you feel about the audience engaging your piece and the feedback that you sometimes get?
It's been very interesting to hear the different responses back to the exhibition, because it's also divided into two sections. There's the main space where the large drawing is, and then there's a drawing room, and that's the collective space where people can debrief and also contribute drawings to the project. But I think the feedback has really been exciting, because I think I've never been interested in forcing an idea onto people. I'm always interested in hearing the different reactions, because I think all of us are very different in how we read and how we make sense of ourselves in relationship to the environments and the spaces we walk into. And I think it also helps to, with also, I think it also forms a very important role in building that collective language of, and a new, and an alternative language for how one can also speak back to the drawing as well. So in essence, the studio practice, I'm generously sharing it with people, because I'm deliberate in trying to, for this moment of being inclusive, but also like meeting each other halfway.
We spoke a little bit about the medium that you used as the canvas. Let's use those words for the purposes of those who are listening. The paper, the wax paper. And I kept thinking, gosh, the negotiation you must have had with your medium must have been interesting. Along the way, because as you introduce different elements and different materials, of course, you want to transfer other things onto it, and you must have had to negotiate it working with you.
Definitely.
Because if it doesn't allow you to, you wouldn't be able to.
True. I mean, I believe that materials also have their, I have this thing in the studio where I encourage listening to the materials, because materials understand, materials have their own voice, and they also determine how far they can, their limits can be pushed.
Yeah.
So there are moments where if my hand forces
yeah.
a material to be folded in a certain way, it resists
this.
So I take those moments in the studio practice as the drawing telling me, or those materials telling me to stop and yeah. to let go.
Yeah, because I imagined how, for instance, because you use a lot of needles as well and many yeah. other materials, but yeah. how you must have sometimes negotiated with it to not tear too much.
Yeah.
And maybe it would tear too much in places, and that was not your intention.
I think that's part of the whole process of like letting go and being free in the creative practice, is that there's I think that's what drawing has taught me, to really let go of those, of that need to be perfect all the time, and to just let, you know, the crumbling, the fragility of it is part of it, mm. to just let those materials be what they want to be mm. in that moment.
You've studied around the world, in other places in the world. What does working in this space as an artist do for an artist like yourself, who mm. is not just pouring but also receiving feedback from the environment?
Yeah. It means a lot, you know, and it's what I've always wanted to do. You know, when I came back, I was always excited about how, you know, sharing this drawing with a local audience, mm. and to share this excitement. Mm. Mm. Because I think they're showing these alternative ways of, you know, contributing to the ongoing like education around like creative arts.
I think it must be quite powerful to, if you listen mm. to what feedback, surroundings, nature,
true.
even what I would probably call noise,
true,
feeds into what the kind of work that you're putting out there.
True.
Working with young people, as you did the workshops, mm. what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. I also feel like young people, the show is definitely also for young people, because mm. of it, just the...
It's also playful.
It's very playful. Mm. And it's also, it's a very childlike experience,
yes.
as
yes.
well. So I feel like the audience that is also going to gravitate toward the most is definitely young people. And just watching and sharing the practice with them has been so... I got reminded a lot of just also letting go and mm. just being mm-hmm. free mm-hmm. as well, and not being tied with myself, or like tied in the sense of like the stress.
Yeah, yeah. I must say, at first glance, mm. it's playful.
Definitely.
Once you engage with it, it wasn't that playful.
No.
It's, it really draws you in, mm. and there is quite a depth to it that I think forces you to take a moment and consider many, many things. It's also, it's a long piece. So
true,
as
true.
You journey through the piece,
true.
It really, really draws you in. Does the award do anything more than you expected it to do for you?
It's definitely, for sure, it's definitely the recognition, you know. Mm. It's so major, it's a national recognition, you know, and it's also so affirming to the practice, to say, like, it encourages me to also carry on doing the work that I'm doing now, because it says that, you know, it's on the right path.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's absolutely intriguing in the sense that it's, as I said, what the feeling I have was, oh, you've got to go back again tomorrow and see yeah. it again, because I think I'll see things I didn't see today.
True.
You've got to engage with it again and true. Again and again.
True.
And also how other people engage with the piece influences how one engages with it themselves.
True, true.
So it really is wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. And I can imagine when you introduce something different, it may be... nerve-wracking somewhat.
True.
How easy was it for you to let go of this?
I think it comes with the training and, you know, being part of the different exhibitions. You know, you know that when the work leaves the studio space, it no longer becomes yours. And even in the process of installing that exhibition, yes. I knew that not all of it was going to fit into the space. So I had to be ready for that moment of having to cut the drawing.
I was going to say, so do you know when to stop as an artist, or does time tell you it's enough? It has to be left alone.
The work tells you when to stop.
Such an interesting thing. So you're obviously a listening artist. You listen back to the piece.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing your music, for sharing your art with us. Will the workshops be continued?
No, it was just for today.
Just for today. But the exhibition is still there.
It's on until the 6th of July.
Okay. So we're going to play out with two of your songs.
Okay.
Sibongile Khumalo, Little Girl, is one of the songs that you chose. Why?
That song, this particular song, I remember just the last few weeks before coming to Makanda, it was playing on repeat.
Yeah.
And it was a reminder of, like, keep following your dreams and allow your dreams to carry you as a mantra. And I think I just enjoy also just the melody of the song, the gentleness that Ms. Bongile sings with
So I think we'll play two. We also have Mposibina on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Maji it is a song that revives the spirit a lot in a very upbeat way. And I enjoy the entire song.
Well, Nyakalo, congratulations. Yeah. It is it's a win that is absolutely worth celebrating.
Thank you
so much, and thank you so much for sharing your art with us.
Thank you so much.
So that obviously is Nyakalo, as I said. She is the 2025 Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner for visual arts, Nyakalo Maleke. And if you have not seen the piece, if you are in Makanda, please come through, come have a look. You can come alone, you don't have to come with a friend, but please do come. Take some time and engage with the piece. And if Nyakalo is there, she'd like to know what you're thinking. So thank you, Nyakalo, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Point of View, coming to you live from the National Arts Festival with Standard Bank at Nick's Nest on African Street in Makanda. Standard Bank, championing African artistry.
All right, thank you so much for staying with us. We continue our broadcast from Makanda at the National Arts Festival and continuing our conversations with the winners of the 2025 Standard Bank Young Artist Award. And I have another one here with me. I mean, geez, I'm surrounded by absolute pure genius. Sia Charles is a 2025 Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner for jazz. Hello, Sia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, we speak to everybody else like this, but when you speak to a jazz artist, you've got to give all respect to jazz artists. So cool. How are you?
I'm doing good. There's a lot going on, but I'm so happy to be in Makanda.
It's a big genre, you know, lots of talent in the genre. And I think South Africa has most certainly, you know, made its mark globally in claiming its space in the jazz space. Was it difficult to get into this genre?
I would say yes, because it's such a male-dominated space.
Yeah.
And you really, as a female musician, more so a black female musician, you have to work twice as hard to be taken seriously, just on the same level as everyone. So it has its challenges, but if you can find what I call allies, male musicians who are your counterparts, who can vouch for you, it does make it a lot easier and a bit more joyful to navigate the jazz space.
Because it's a genre with a lot of history, and audiences in this genre are very... they own the music, you know what I mean? They are really passionate and they own the music. How difficult was it to find your own voice in the music?
That's a very good question, because even at this moment, I'm still finding my voice. I'm very grateful to have experienced different musics, not only jazz, but I got to play with Uchimi Lulu. Mm. So he played West African music, the Mozambican Marabenta music. Mm. So through collaborating with different people, I was able to find music that resonates with me. And so it's still a process, of course, but I can say that with the music that I'll be playing at my show, I've managed to find my sound.
It's a collaborative effort. Jazz is exactly that. But also jazz is very fluid.
Yes.
You know, you have, I suppose, what you all work from. And when the moment calls for you to be live, anything can happen, right?
Almost definitely.
And that's the magic, though. You know, the fact that you cannot, it's unpredictable, mm-hmm. even to you as musicians working together.
For sure.
And you have to learn to listen to one another and finding the rhythm. How difficult is that?
At times, I guess, depending on your personality, I'm quite type A.
Yeah.
Not in an overbearing way, but I love structure.
Really?
And I'm quite cerebral, yes.
Even as an artist. That is so interesting. That is so interesting.
So I've had to learn to just give space to create in real time.
Yes, and being agile.
Yes.
And what does that do for you in return?
It actually inspires me to be more creative, listening and just allowing yourself to let go, because we're always creating from a place that is outside ourselves, mm-hmm. especially from a spiritual perspective. Mm. So you have to give space for that hereafter place to take over you, because that's what touches people's hearts. Mm-hmm. That's what inspires them. That's what moves them.
When did music touch your heart?
When I was a little girl, when I was 8 years old, I used to listen to Motown classics because my mom would play them all the time. So the OJs, the Manhattans. And of course, we listened to Umbakanga, you know, Marabi. So that music really just gave me joy at a young age.
And so finding your way and making the call to say, you know, actually, I think this is sort of the direction I want to go. How did that happen?
I had the most amazing mother, and I say had because she has passed away. She was very creative as a person, although she was a businesswoman, and she really inspired me to follow my calling because she saw how much joy it gave me to create music and to be around other musicians. So I do give credit to her for inspiring me.
It's an important point you make, because you hear a lot of people who want to go into the arts saying, well, I wanted to, and you know, family just was not willing, and they didn't understand it, and you know, there's a little bit of a hesitation. You're right to celebrate the fact that your mother gave you that gift of allowing you to do the music. You obviously do the music for us as the audience. What does it actually do for you, even as you create?
For me, honestly, maybe it's the people pleaser in me. I love making people happy. And as much as playing music makes me happy, to see the joy in people's faces or people's tears, well, their eyes welling up with tears because the music moved them, that inspires me more than anything.
Mm-hmm. This award is a huge, huge honor. You're in a sea of talented people. And I mean, how did you find out, first of all, that you had won?
So this was very interesting. At the time, I was in the States working, and so the director of the National Youth Jazz Festival, Alan Webster, he's one of the main people on the National Arts Festival Committee.
Yes.
He gave me a call at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm a night owl, so of course I was awake. And he called me and asked me, Sia, are you awake? I said, yes, Alan, I'm awake. And he told me, hey, you've got the award.
What did you drop?
I did not sleep. I was running, doing cartwheels and somersaults in the room. I was so excited.
Because what does it actually mean for you?
It's such a stamp of affirmation, acknowledgement from people that I admire so much.
Mm.
People who also have seen my growth, because I've attended the National Youth Jazz Festival when I was 15. I'm turning 35 this year, so it's the 20-year mark of this journey as
big
a jazz musician. So it means the world.
So you've obviously selected some music for us. How can we not play the music? So talk to me about My Take.
Okay, so the first tune that we will be playing today is a tune that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It's a samba, so it's music that is indigenous to Brazil. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the song dedicated to my beautiful mother, who had a beautiful personality like a samba.
It's the POV Rhythm and Beat
on Kaya 959
with Pimelo Modine.
We continue our live broadcast from Makanda at the National Arts Festival with award winner, 2025 Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner for the jazz category, Sia Charles. Your music is so happy. Are you happy? Are you a happy person?
I try to be. I try to be joyful because, you know, joy is perennial.
Yeah. You know, I believe you self-taught yourself. You taught yourself how to play the piano. I mean, how did you get that right? Because that's a very difficult instrument to learn. But, you know, you speak about your mother a lot. The music came to you even before your mother.
Yes, it did. My maternal grandfather was a jazz musician, and I only found out 10 years or so after he passed away. Played trumpet and saxophone.
Really?
Yes, he was from Langa Township, so he was part of the jazz community there. I had no idea.
Yeah. You play with musicians from around the world, and you've played with some big names. Is it intimidating when you walk into a rehearsal room with a you, for instance? How is that like?
It can be quite intimidating because, of course, you want to put your best foot forward. You want to display we call them chops, like your ability to play.
Yeah.
And what I've realized working with people like Ubab Huma Segela is that he wasn't looking for chops. He was just looking to hear your voice. And so now I lead with being confident in who I am as a trombonist.
Yeah. This has now happened, right? So now this, not only does the globe, this country recognizes you and awards you this amazing, amazing accolade. Going forward, what more do you want to achieve?
I definitely want to document my work. I do have a single that I released that was produced by a previous Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner for jazz, Dr. Nduduzo Makatini.
Yes.
So we have that, but now we're planning to record the debut album.
Yeah.
Very excited.
So you will be playing here.
Yes.
Give us the details so people can come.
Please come and watch us. The Sia Charles Sextet is performing live tomorrow, early evening, 5 p.m. at DSG Campus. We're also performing on Saturday, July 5th at the Thomas Pringle Hall at the Monument.
And tickets are still available, right?
Tickets are still available. Make sure to get them soon.
Are you going to come back and stay here?
That's the dream. To get as much knowledge from the U.S. as I possibly can, so I can come back and plow back to jazz education from a grassroots level, because I'm very passionate about teaching the kids jazz. So definitely want to
It's
come
been
back.
Such a pleasure, Sia, and we wish you all the best with tomorrow's performance.
Thank you.
It's going to be amazing. It really will be amazing. Thank you and congratulations once again.
Thanks for your time, Pamelo.
Thank you. So we're playing out with what? What are we playing with?
Yes, this is an arrangement that I wrote. It's a beautiful string and harp arrangement of a ballad called Alfie.
So Alfie, why and where did it come from?
It's a ballad that I heard while studying at the University of Cape Town.
Yeah.
So gorgeous. I think the composer is Hoagie Carmichael.
Yeah.
And we had to do a string arrangement project at Juilliard, and I just thought, what better way than to write a ballad? We'll arrange a ballad.
Sia Charles, everybody, and come through tomorrow. She'll be playing at the DSG campus here at Makanda as we go through the National Arts Festival. And as I said to you, she is the 2025 Standard Bank Young Artist Award recipient in the jazz category. Again, Sia, thank you. I know you were busy with rehearsals. You had to step out for us. Really appreciate it and congratulations.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We are back on Monday at 8.
Let Pimelo Modine take you on a musical journey.
On POV.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.